right, welcome to another Manscaped edition of the Horse Racing Happy Hour.
Oh,
I mean,
so much manscaping. How are you, Michael?
I'm good. And of course, when we talk about like people that we just think are going to be manscaped, we have to talk about the Paddock Prince himself, David Levitch.
How about that? A little manscaped talk. How about that?
Great introduction.
That's the first question, David.
I know it's not. You know.
yeah,
oh, so that's the good stuff.
We are here. We have got, we finally got a Derby contender that looks like he wants to run out front, although we've got to wonder if he's
and quickly other. How about that?
Yeah, and a quick one.
Little quick one. How about that? Yeah.
So we got a lot to talk about today as we get into the final weekend of 100-point races and really just kind of talk about what we saw over the weekend. Now, one thing that's not on the show sheet, Louis,
okay,
is the performance by Forever Young.
In the UAE Derby.
Yes.
How about that?
So just real quick, I know we're not going to do a replay on that one. I know that that was your top pick kind of going into the 100-point races.
He is.
Did he do anything to change that? Did anything happen this weekend to change that?
No, nothing happened this weekend. Fierceness is in every other. He's probably a toss for me in the Derby at this point.
Okay.
I also think that Florida Derby field was allowance minus. And so it is very good that a good horse looked good against bad horses. But that's the only good part about it.
Well, I was not, you know, we're going to talk about that race in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
No, but people want to put Fierceness at the top of that board, right? I mean, that's kind of what you're getting at, yes?
I mean, he's the Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner. I think that's natural to want to do that.
Sure.
At the same time, I actually think the fact that his field was not very strong made his performance in some ways even more impressive.
Like Pat Kelsey did a better job at Charleston last year than Cal did at Kentucky getting a 3-seed because he was at Charleston rather than at Kentucky.
Sure.
Yeah. How about that?
But ultimately, like just the fact that, you know, Fierceness broke away from the pack, he ran his race, he, you know, still ran a good time. When we've seen just incredibly slow.
Give me the UAE Derby winner right now.
I was about to say, I've got that clip if you want it.
You got the UAE Derby?
Yep.
Look, listen, Zach's professional. I mean,
is he?
It's not on the show sheet, and he gets it up anyway.
Levitch is here, like, what the hell am I doing? I gotta say, like,
hey, I'm listening to everybody dog Fierceness.
You're not gonna hear me dog him yet.
You like Fierceness.
I like him.
You should.
And you know, whether it's in every other or whether we just toss the first prep race, you know, that's what we gotta think about. So
there you go.
I mean, if he shows up,
I prefer an undefeated 3-year-old, Mike.
I do as well. All right, let's go ahead and let's look at this UAE Derby. Let's talk about meters.
Middleton Bay, deeper out Navy SEAL. Not
in all,
Panda Gate still with
four said to
pick up. As they get into the running here, Autobahn takes over. Forever Young on the one rein there, but balances up now, comes up to the outside of Autobahn, who has to be brave. It's Forever Young, though, for Japan, who comes up to the outside of Autobahn, goes past by a length. Forever Young drawing away here in the late stages, and it's another Japan domination in the UAE Derby.
Autobahn. All right, Zach, who do we got to thank for this second video clip?
Third across Panda Gate from Mendelssohn Bay, then came Navy SEAL.
I can't read it.
I think that's just the Dubai folks.
Okay,
that's great. Racing Dubai.
Racing Dubai, yep. Okay.
Thank you, Racing Dubai, for that clip. We've heard enough about what Louis thinks about Forever Young. I want to hear what the Paddock Prince thinks about Forever Young. And can a shipper win the Derby?
No, I mean, he's a good horse, I think, but I'm not going to endorse these horses until they actually do something in the Derby. I mean, I don't know. He's kind of like a grinder, and I don't know about the horse. I mean, he's a good horse, but I don't think he beat that much in Dubai. But, I mean, I guess one day Japan will win one of these races. But as of now, and this year's field's not that great, so he's probably going to be – I mean, he's going to be under 8-1, I would think. I would say 8-1 range probably, 7-1. I mean, it depends on this weekend, obviously, what Sierra Leone and some of these horses do. But
that's right.
I think a lot of people are going to gravitate to this horse, and I don't know. I'm not going to bet one of these horses until they win.
Okay, let's ask.
Listen,
this
we used to never have Japanese pitchers in the U.S. either, but now they kill.
Yeah, they're
it's going to happen.
No, I think Levitch is saying we're going to get a winner of one of these. Yeah. It's just they're going to have to do it before he bets on it. That's it, right?
Yeah, no, I think he's a good horse, but right. I mean, I don't know. I can't endorse these horses until they.
Yeah,
that's fine. Do something.
Middleton is the shipper that's had the most buzz ever out of all.
Thundersnow had some too, but I think
Thundersnow had a lot. But I still feel like Middleton had.
Middleton was top because then he went by like 15 or something crazy in the Dubai
$3 million purchase. I mean, the whole thing. Yeah, all of it was hype. Yeah.
Are we gonna get Middleton type hype with this horse?
I think the fact that this is a Japanese horse and not a European bred feels different. Okay. And I think the Japanese horses are just getting a lot more respect. Yeah. As far as, especially as far as dirt races. Yeah. So I think potentially more than Mendelsohn.
More buzz than Mendelsohn.
Perhaps. Yeah. Different buzz though.
It's going to be different.
But the fact that Fierceness ran a what? Was it with the bike 110?
Well, let's while we start, you know, you keep on want to talk about the race. Let's go ahead and
why would we follow the show sheet?
Yeah. Let's go ahead and watch Fierceness win the Florida Derby.
One may run to the 5/16 and Fierceness, he is getting away.
Thanks to NBC for this replay.
Catalytic is second, Grand Mo the first is third. On the outside, Frankie's Empire, Conquest Warrior at the rail, but they all have too much to do. Fierceness is putting on a show in Hallandale today. Fierceness, the real Fierceness, has showed up to South Florida, and he's crushing them in the Florida Derby. Fierceness geared down and on his way to Louisville. Fierceness authoritatively in the Florida Derby. He never had a.
I mean, never was ridden. And I'm just going to say that last week, you didn't pick him.
Fair.
Who could you
pick? Your dog in the field. What's that?
Who'd you pick? Hades, I guess, was the.
Yeah, and then.
Conquest Warrior.
Yeah, Conquest Warrior. I liked in that spot too. Yeah.
So, I mean, when we consider that. Those three are decent horses, and I just think the fact
he made Hades look like a chump. I agree with that.
When he hits that top of that stretch and he's open lengths and on the lead, and he pushes it into another gear and he's never ridden, that's impressive. Like that's to me, that's the most impressive prep race we've seen so far.
I have two quick thoughts. The first is good on NBC keeping the local announcer in for that race. They should do that for all the races.
Every single time.
All of them. Because Stone's really good. Dave Rodman's awesome. And they got good announcers in New York too. Just an FYI, even with Johnny I officially retiring today. Shout out to Johnny. But there's good announcers around, and they should give us the full experience of getting the track call from Travis Stone, for example, or from Dave Rodman at Pimlico. Like they should do those things. Second thing, it's impressive. It's okay to say huge number, all those things. And look, if you think that he's going to be able to do it again, third in the form cycle, right? Comes back off the layoff. This is second off the layoff. If he's able to do it in third form cycle, I wouldn't be stunned. But I think he's not going to win the Kentucky Derby.
David, what says you?
I think if he gets a half decent post, I think he's a very likely winner at this point. Because if you look at his race, he also beat horses like Muth by like 5 lengths in the Breeders' Cup. So it's not like he did beat a bad field in the Florida Derby. I mean, there was a lot of allowance horses. And the horse that came second had never even been 2 turns and was never even – I don't even think he'd run into stakes race at this point. But I think if he gets a half-decent post and breaks well, I just think he has way more upside and ability than all these horses. And he has speed. And I think the Derby, I mean, I could be wrong about this. I feel like speed is so important in the Derby. And long as they're not going 45 again like they did a couple years ago. But I feel like you want horses that can be forward. Can anybody else run a 110 in the race if he runs it again? It is a big if.
I don't think so.
I don't. And, you know, people say he needs the lead. He also rated in the Breeders' Cup. It's not like he has to have the lead. He just has the break half well, because in the Champagne he didn't break very well, and then in the Holy Bull he didn't break well. He clearly is a horse that if he doesn't break well, he kind of just throws his head in the air and says forget it for the day. But you all saw what he can do, like everybody else, if he breaks well.
I'd like the horse a lot. I mean, I think you're right. That 110 Equibase speed figure, when we look at Maximum Security ran a 106, Always Dreaming ran a 105, Nyquist with a 106. Or with a 98. Of course, that's not maybe the
most. What did Known Agenda run?
Big Brown did run a 112.
What did Known Agenda
run? 111.
How about that?
Known Agenda was not a very good Florida Derby winner.
Faster than this one?
Yeah.
Well, which is hard to believe. No, it's very hard to believe.
I know. I get it.
He never did a thing really before that or after that.
Right. Yeah. Nothing.
That's fair. Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I want to be clear. All the connections make sense. Ownership, trainer, jockey, all of it makes sense. I'm not saying it doesn't make sense. I think he's in every other type. I think in a 20 horse field, he gets bumped in the gate. He's done.
If Rapoli,
the other thing about him is, I don't know if really what other speeds are in the Derby this year.
That's the real question. No,
I don't know what. I don't know who has a bunch of speed to where if he breaks well, like I mean, somebody's going to have to be flying to keep up with him. I would think. I don't know what horses have a lot of speed to begin with in this race.
And you know, and we're dogging this field, but what other races had a good field besides the Bluegrass, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit? The Wood's got a pretty decent field, but
the Wood has a good betting race.
But I mean,
how good the quality?
Arkansas Derby wasn't a great field, you know.
Timberlake
Derby definitely wasn't a great field,
right?
So when you look at the fields of who he's beat, I mean, no one's really beat anybody, you know.
I guess my larger point on that would be, take the race for what it is, but not that he beat the horses by X number of lengths.
Okay.
Take his performance as standalone rather than what he did against those horses.
But I think that if you don't like him, you can't use him in anything, because he's kind of an all or nothing horse. Like, if you like him, you probably single him. If you don't like him, you don't even use him. Even know if you defense use him, because he's kind of an all or nothing type horse. Yeah, he's never really fought on for a second or third. Like, he doesn't really fight
that's
on.
True. That's actually true.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, well, now we're going to move on to Oakline. Our man, Matt Dinnerman, who was on the show last week, on his first ever call for an Arkansas Derby winner. Let's watch him.
For grade one, how about this?
Win the Arkansas Derby.
For a turn, there goes Muth to challenge Timberlake, and the race is on now. Muth on the outside, strides level. Timberlake back in second as Muth takes command. Muth and Juan Hernandez have a quarter mile more to get, and Hernandez gives them the cue to go, and Muth off the turn, still in front. Timberlake second, Jess Steele third, then Mystic Dan, who tries to rally on. Furlong to go, it's Muth. Jess Steele running huge in second, Timberlake third. Muth with a 16th to go, he's opened up by three, and it's Muth coming down the stretch in Hot Springs to win it. Muth, the son of Good Magic, wins the Arkansas Derby.
No points for Muth in that race yet.
Very good horse.
He is a good horse. I agree. Juan Hernandez did a really nice job, too. Worth mentioning.
All right. Look, first off, Matt Dinnerman, other news this week.
Yeah.
I mean, getting the Monmouth job. Congrats to Matt Dinnerman. We love Matt.
He's going
to
crush.
Second, beyond that, Muth has his performance, and then we get this lawsuit. And I don't think any of us really want to, like, go on and on about this lawsuit and get on your show.
Sure.
What's your take on the lawsuit?
By the way, if you haven't listened to it, I did release my interview with John Sherva on this podcast platform. So if you want to hear about the lawsuit itself, you can go back and listen to that.
I thought you were going
to
say. I thought you were going to talk about how Matt Dinnerman, another career made by his support, by his appearances in the horse race.
Oh, I don't have to do that anymore. It's so obvious. It's
so obvious.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no. Everyone just knows that. No, it's look, it's an awesome performance, and it's set up what we've all talked about all year, which is that the Preakness is going to be awesome, and a 10-furlong Belmont's going to be fire as far as a betting race. I mean, like, those things are just true. And so, I mean, I appreciate, you know, Zidane. This lawsuit I like more than the others.
Okay.
Because I think the reasoning is more reasonable. In other words, coming to a judge and saying, we bought these horses a year and a half ago under the assumption that we'd be able to run them this year. And then we were told in January all of a sudden that that wasn't going to happen. I think that's a more reasonable tact than they've had in the past. And Baffert's name isn't on this thing. No. Right? All they need is one judge to say, you know what? I kind of see what they're saying here. That's all they need.
Dude, they need the injunction, really.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah. They just need an injunction and then the inability to fight it before Derby Day.
Levitt, you want to have anything about this?
About the lawsuit or the race itself?
Let's say the lawsuit first, and you can decline the comment. If you
want. No, I mean, I just don't disagree with Churchill not letting horses like Baffert run, but that's a whole other story. I think you just want to see the best horses in the race. I mean, I think it's a little late for the lawsuit. Obviously, he did it right after Muth won the race, maybe, you know, a month or so ago. But it's just kind of takes some of the allure from the race itself when you don't get to see horses like Muth run against, you know, Fierceness. I know Nysos got hurt, but horses like that. I don't think the lawsuit's going to work. It seems a little too late, but like he said,
I think the timing is very strategic.
Yeah, it is kind of strategic because it's so close and he just won. So maybe it's like, we'll get him in.
Yeah.
Right.
Other news out of the Arkansas Derby, and then we can talk about Muth's performance. Timberlake ruled out of the Kentucky Derby after a very lackluster performance.
Pat Day Mile, baby.
So, yeah.
Lash is running there, too.
Yeah, it's going
to
be loaded.
Yeah, that Pat Day Mile, if you've been listening to this show for a while, should be
fire.
Be the best race of the day.
It kind of
The American Turf's going to be dope. Yeah. Like, dope. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what would you all take out of Muth's performance?
David?
I think he's a really good horse. I mean, obviously, he will probably be in the Preakness. He's got good speed. He's just a very talented horse. I mean, I think Just Steele is a cool horse that came second. I don't think he's going to want to get the Derby distance, but he's a really cool horse. And I think when he shortens up a little bit to a mile, 7 furlongs, he's could really have his day one day. But he's a really cool horse that shows up all the time, and Lucas is back in the Derby.
I feel good for Muth and the connections winning this kind of race. You don't really get to hear small trainers like Bob Baffert winning the Arkansas Derby all the time. Ownership groups like the Zahn Racing Stables. So you just feel good for the little guy there. They only paid $2 million for this horse. So, it's a nice thing to see them get a third of that money back.
Same connections as American Pharoah.
How about that?
If you want to get what Louis's throwing out there. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens if they get that injunction at the horse races.
Do you want them to get an injunction?
No, I want Rapoli to win Derby 150 because I think he's going to be off the wall. That press conference, we might delay. Well, we're not doing a post-race show. I will be
not,
at that press conference.
I was going to say not yet, but yes.
If he wins, we might just jump
might
off.
Have to, yeah.
We might just, Yeah, I mean, it is.
It would be cool.
It'd be crazy. And then Pletcher's got to be forced with the decision. Does he run in the Preakness or not?
Never won the Preakness.
Well, I mean, he hates the short layoff, right?
Really
so,
does, yes.
If my horse ran a 110, then won the Derby, you obviously probably have to run in the Preakness, but that would be a tough ask. I mean, you kind of have to, though.
Yeah, you do kind of. I mean, but it's definitely something he does not want to do. So,
oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about our points. Anything else you want to add before we go into the where we stand? Going into the last weekend of
100 races? No, I think that's it, man. Especially for last weekend's races, yeah.
All right, we'll start with the Oaks horses. So our top five Oaks horses right now, as far as points go, Tarifa is number one with 150 points. Still not your number one choice there, right?
No, Tarifa is my number one choice. I don't understand for other people how she isn't the number one choice for people. That's what I don't understand. All she does is win. If people like Fierceness, they should love Tarifa, and I'm not kidding.
David, any take on Tarifa? Oh, good dude.
Sorry, my phone. You know, my phone's dying, so apologize, but better.
Right, we can't hear him right now.
Did you hit the mute button there, Dave? Can you check on it for us? There we go.
Sorry, my phone was dying, and it would have been way worse if my phone died.
You're good, brother.
A really good filly, but I agree with what he just said. I mean, I think she's the favorite going into the race, but I don't like anybody in the Oaks. I think the Ashland is a big race to see how Just FYI does, see how Impel does, handling winners or stakes company, see if Leslie's Rose can rebound, see how Candy does off the bench. So I think that race is going to be a big tell in how the Oaks plays out. Because right now, I think the Cox Philly from the Fairgrounds has kind of separated herself, but I mean, if Just FYI comes back with a huge race, she's probably going to be the favorite because she's going to be 4-for-4 and I don't know. We'll see. I think there's a lot to be said in the Oaks. I think Fierceness stands way out in the Derby at this point right now, just on speed figures. But in the Oaks, I think spread out. Ashland's a dud. I guess if the Ashland winner was a dud somehow. But I don't see that happening because it looks like there's 4 or 5 legit horses.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that to the point that I think like a Jody's Pride, who's 8-to-1 on the morning line, has a serious shot in the Ashland.
Yeah, she's a very nice horse.
She is. And if Brad Cox wins this race with Impel, I don't think any of us would be surprised. The headline, or, the storyline I'll be watching, David and Mike, is coming out of that Remsen, how good those horses have been. Obviously, the 7th place finisher in domestic product wins the Tampa Bay Derby.
Yeah.
Right? The 1st and 2nd place finishers are Dordock and Sierra Leone. I don't need to put out their bona fides. They're racing against one another again here in the Bluegrass. So maybe a horse like Jody's Pride coming out of that Busher. Is that the horse coming out of Aqueduct? Are we going to see it on the Philly side as well for the Oaks? I think Jody's Pride is going to surprise tomorrow at Keeneland.
Jody's Pride in 5th place in points right now in the Oaks. And again, that's without running her 100-point race. West Omaha is in 4th. Torpedo.
She's skipping.
3rd. What's that?
She's skipping.
Yeah. She's skipping?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going then, Black-Eyed Susan. So that takes West Omaha out.
And then Power Squeeze is the number 2-point getter right now for the Phillies. So if we got if West Elm Hall's out, then Fiona's Magic would be the 5th horse in points with 60 points. And then we're just going to start watching that cut line.
Yep.
Right now that cut line is for the Oaks, because they run 14, is at 45 points.
Wow, man.
That's really high, right?
It's all-time high this year, but I want everyone to remember they raised the point values for not winning, and they raised the number of horses that get points in the races, right? So the thresholds were going to raise at some point.
And for the Derby right now, it's at 30 points, but it'll be much higher than that after this weekend. The top five in the Derby leaderboard, Fierceness with 136 points, Catching Freedom with 125. Forever Young got his 100-point win this weekend. Endlessly with 100 points, and then Track Phantom at 70. But again, we have some major, major 100-point races.
David, if you weekend. If you owned Endlessly and he looked as good as he did in the Ruby, would you try him in the Derby, or would you go back to the American Turf and be the favorite?
He, the owners are pushing that. I kind of found out because I know somebody in that camp, kind of the owners are pushing it because he's never had a horse in the Derby.
Oh, okay.
I think the smart choice is obviously to run in the American Turf because I don't think he trained very well over the dirt, but it is the Derby. You never know. I guess the owner's thinking, if I've never had a horse, this is the year. It's not the strongest race without the Baffords and some California horses. So maybe they just want to take a chance. But man, if it was the American Turf 750 now, $750,000. I mean,
that sounds right, actually. Yeah,
top two choice in that race, probably top three choice. So that would be hard for me to pass up. But then again, if you don't run in the Derby, you never know. You could have won the Derby, I guess.
Whitmore ran last, and he went on to an okay career.
He did.
Yes. He did okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you take your shot, and then you figure out where you go from there.
Right.
Although that 750 is
– it's better than perfect. It was. That's $400,000 if you win. That's right. Yeah, right. No, it's nothing. It's not nothing for sure.
All right, so we're going
to – So after – I wanted to ask David, after Fierceness, who are your next, like, two or three contenders that you think are serious shots? And how many are running in the Bluegrass?
The Bluegrass is an interesting race. I think Deterministic is the wild card of the Derby so far because he hasn't hit the two turns yet, but he's been very good in two races. And he really looked good in the Gotham, but I guess we're going to find out this weekend about the two turns. I think he has the one that could have a real upside – in terms of something we haven't seen yet, for we've seen a lot of, and we'll talk about the Bluegrass too. There's a horse I just don't understand in there that people like, but we can talk about that when we get to it. But I think Deterministic is the horse. Deterministic is the one I want to see what he can do.
He'll be in the wood. Yep.
Yeah, I want to see what he can do. So right now I would have him at two. And after that, I guess Sierra Leone or he's probably the best. He's probably the best closer in the race, I think, right now. The best horse with the best late kick. So I guess I'd throw him in there at this point.
There you go.
Well, so David, Louie and I are in the second week of manscaping. And if you need some tips, you know, on how to handle that, you know, if you need help.
That's an after the show thing.
Well, I mean, you know, we could teach them on how to get the ladies.
Is that a different... Is that a different episode of this show? He put his hand on his head. Look at him. He's in pain right now. He's so good,
man. Well, when he said I need tips, I was like, I don't know where this is going.
Listen to what Mike says.
Stop. And do opposite.
And then do the exact opposite.
I've been waiting
for a long time. I've been very happy. So is Louie. So.
Yeah, one of us is happy. Remember, our discount code is horse racing. Get in there. 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Make sure you join us for that. We all got the Lawnmower 5.0.
Yes.
It literally is a lawnmower. I think Mark's great. You're a big fan of the lotions.
The nose hair trimmer and the deodorant, the ball deodorant.
There you go. The downstairs deodorant, if you will. So make sure you go check those out. We actually, I'm not bragging, but wife and I, we had a manscaping.
I don't want to hear this, man.
At a femscaping date. It was fun. It was good, man. How about that? Yeah. I'm touching you while I talk about that. How about that? There you go.
That's awesome.
There you go.
I did actually use our
Louis hasn't actually washed his hands since that. That was earlier today. Sorry, Mike.
That's why he keeps on smelling his fingers. That's kind of disturbing, man. Just like, that's gross.
Manscaped.com, promo code horse racing. All one word. Go ahead and use that 20% off plus free shipping. I know you've used it.
Well, I went and got the beard stuff, man. And it's getting
you're looking
here.
Tight, dude. You look good.
Well, it's getting here tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
But
you could have lied there.
I could have. Yes. it's just, you know, not me. But
we're kidding, man.
What I was going to say is that so they set you up on like Chewy does for dog food. Like, we'll send you the products every month, so you set up on this rotation. But the deal that I got was like on super sale, and then I got her 20% on top of it. It was a sweet deal.
There
so
you go.
I'm really excited about it. So
it's also just the nicest shaving stuff I've ever owned. So manscaped.com. Use our promo code horse racing, 20% off free shipping straight to your house. Makes it nice and easy. There you go.
Charge your phone, David, and then go to manscaped.com.
Also, the underwear underrated.
The underwear is amazing.
Underrated.
And that was the nice little add-on, by the way, that I got when I got my order. So
there you go.
They gave you a sweet another deal on the underwear there.
All right.
So we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about the racing at Keeneland this weekend. We're going to talk a little bit of Friday, a little Saturday.
Can I real quick, just before we get going on this, new updates on takeout rates at Keeneland, the doubles have been lowered to 15%. So if you just want something, a simpler bet. Oh, it is from 22%. It's a big deal, actually. 7% drop in the double. So at 15% are the turf pick three, which is a $3 minimum. Mm-hmm. I love that bet. At Keeneland, though, it seems like all the smartest handicappers are on it. So it always doesn't pay well. But then the win play show bets are 16%, man. And then the doubles and the pick fives are at 15. Very playable. If you are just getting into horse racing, trying to figure out how to bet, a double is picking the winner of race one and race two, the first race, the second race. That can literally be race five and race six, just back-to-back races, essentially. And just
would you say that's another positive thing of the legalizing sports gambling, where they can actually do that with that takeout rate?
What does that mean?
Like the fact that sports gambling has helped offset that they can actually give some money back to the better on the horse racing side.
Well, I think in Kentucky, that's the historical racing stuff.
Yeah,
but more than anything,
the tracks control the sports betting
too. Of course.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I don't know on the double part. I think they're just hearing better say, "Hey, we'd like to not pay 22% on doubles." Okay. And I think you're going to see huge doubles pools this week. David, do you agree with that? Do you think the double pools are going to be big?
Average sorority girl.
I think the doubles are the second best bet in racing. So you don't you don't have to talk to me on the Ben doubles. I love doubles.
Is a win bet your number one, or is like a pick five your number one?
Pick five. It's not the smartest bet all the time, but it's the most rewarding if you hit them.
Yeah.
Nice. There you go.
Most all right, let's talk. Let's talk love about doubles. That grade three Transylvania first. This is going off. It's the mile and 16th on the turf for 3 year olds.
It's race eight. I apologize.
$400,000 race. I wasn't going to, I thought it was, but you know, again, I just read the teleprompter, Ron Burgundy. That's it. So race eight.
Those movies are overrated.
Grade three Transylvania. Did you say they're overrated?
Yeah, they're not that good.
Did you know that San Diego was German for a whale's vagina? All right. Mile and 16th on the turf. 3 year olds. 400,000.
Manscaped.com.
Louis, who do you like in this one?
A lot of folks. This card, the Saturday card, there are going to be some prices. There are going to be some horses that jump up. I think we're going to get some great paydays here this weekend. I got a 10-1 shot on top here. No, I got the wrong horse in my handicapping here. Hang on. Oh, there we go. I'm looking at the wrong day. I got the 10 horse on top here. That is Can Group. It is a long shot. Never mind. Ran in that Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. They tried him in the LeCompte to see if he would be a Derby horse. Didn't like it. Ran fourth by 2 lengths under Flavian Pratt when the three of us actually were out at Santa Anita for that Breeders' Cup. Coming back after a win in the Bourbon last year. So one run, one win at Keeneland seems to like the course. You give me 12-1 with Flavian Pratt, I'll definitely take that. Definitely paid off last weekend as well. Went to the five after that in Tennessee. I thought this was, and I think this was his intention. Brad Cox was going to have this horse run in the Jeff Ruby Stakes. Didn't draw in, and so pointed him to this spot. Synthetic to turf is not an angle you see a lot with him, so that'll be something to watch here. But another huge price for Jose Ortiz, 15-1. He's moving his tack to Kentucky. This is going to be sort of his first weekend as a full-time resident of Kentucky.
You love Tennessee going into that race.
I also love Tennessee going into the Ruby. I thought he'd win the Ruby. And right. So that this for me is very much, if he likes the turf as much as he was good on the synthetic, I think he's got a legitimate shot. And then after that, First World War, as far as turf horses, wins the Kitten's Joy back in February, gets 2 months off here, runs back at Keeneland. Did run to Keeneland last fall in that Bourbon behind Can Group, but I think he's in good form right now. This is something that Mark Cassie does really well. Horses at Keeneland. Has already trained at Keeneland. We have a timed run at Keeneland. So the weather's not going to surprise it like some of the other horses that are shipping from Florida. So I went, 10-5-6 on top there in the Appalachian.
All right, let's go to someone who understands the Cassie Barn a little bit better than you do.
That's the wrong Cassie Barn.
I know. Norm wants nobody. But when you first started coming up, Norm and Mark were working together. So you were around that boy.
Yeah. It was for Mark, but obviously Norman was the one I had to deal with every day.
Yeah. So who do you like in this race?
To add on the five horse Tennessee, this horse has an abundance of turf pedigree. I don't know if you guys looked it up yet, but he's a half to a horse named Moon Over Miami who earned $800,000 on the turf, and then also a half to another Mod Philly that was $200,000 on the turf. So this horse is definitely the pedigree play in the race. I don't know if you're going to get 15-1, but if he's around that price, he's outstanding value because it's Brad Cox. You get a Jose Ortiz as you mentioned, I think First War is the horse to beat. But if you're playing pick fives in this race, is this where it starts to pick? Is this a pick third leg? So, yeah, I mean, if you're in the pick five, pick four, I would spread in this leg because this leg looks pretty tricky. I think the 12 horse Cugino is a nice horse. He just doesn't win. He's been chasing slow paces in his last two starts, but he kind of hangs on the money a little bit, and he did not draw a good post in here, but I think he's talented. And then you always have the Charlie Appleby in here, the eight. They don't ever look that great on the program half the time, and then they come over here and run like monsters. So I guess we'll see. That's Frankie Dettori's only mount of the day also. I don't know if that was he's going back to Santa Anita on Saturday, so he's flying out here to ride this horse, and then he's going back to Santa Anita on Saturday, so that's probably a horse you want to keep an eye on. But I think this would be a spread race, but I would put First World War on top and then use Tennessee definitely and pick fives, pick fours, and underneath.
I love that angle, by the way.
Which one?
The Dettori angle. I mean,
I agree. I mean,
obviously, just
he's not flying in for nothing. That's right. Yes, I agree. He's coming here
to get a paycheck and then go home, right?
And he'd like a bigger paycheck than not. How about that?
Absolutely.
What's up, Dave?
I think that was his only mount I saw. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but I didn't see another mount for him because I would even thought to myself, he's coming all the way to ride one horse for his old boys at Godolphin.
They pay pretty well, I heard. Yeah.
They do. They have a lot of good horses, too. I don't know if you heard that they have a lot of good horses, but they have good horses.
Another small outfit.
Yeah, small outfit, but, you know, you have to root for them. Yeah. Like that Baffert Arkansas Derby win.
The Central Bank Ashland Stakes, the grade one Ashland Stakes, is race nine. This is your Oaks preview, and this really is an Oaks preview because this field is just unbelievable.
Loaded.
Eight horses, and seven of them are 10-1 or better. You know, it's incredible just to see these odds. We've got the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly winner in Just FYI.
And the new shooter in Impel.
Yes, and just and Impel's right now is the favorite. So, and then we talked about Jody's Pride, who's at 8-1 and is in the top five in Oaks Point right now. So that tells you how deep this field is. It's $600,000 purse, mile on the 16th at Keeneland on the dirt. And we'll go with David first. David, who did you like in this, Ashland?
I don't have the morning line in front of me, but I think Leslie's rode 4-1 on the line, 5-1 on the line.
4-1.
That's the horse I was interested in here. She did not have a good trip last time. She was kind of stuck inside. But if you go to her first two races, they were pretty good. 87, 88 Byers beat Gunsong in her second start, who came back to win to validate the race. Finally gets two turns here. I want to give her another shot. I don't know if she's good enough. She might not be near the competition level of some of these others. But I think if you were ever going to bet her, it would be today. Because if she would have won the last race in the Devona Dale, I mean, she's probably 5-2 in here because she's Pletcher. She's 2-3. Now you're probably going to get 9-2. I think it's going to be – I think Just FYI is going to be a little shorter in this race than 3-1. She's 3-3. So I think she's going to be a shorter. So if she can drift up, I think Leslie's Rose is a horse I'll probably bet in here. And then you have Impel. I never know what to do with horses like this. She's getting off Lasix for the first time. She's facing Stakes Company, and she's going to be running against much better horses. If you remember, Punch Bowl last year was a Brad Cox horse that was coming into this race that everybody thought was a lock, and she obviously didn't turn out to be near the filly they thought. But, yeah, I would go Leslie's Rose in here, and then Just FYI, obviously, is that see what she can do. She missed the race, got sick, has a couple good works, it looks like, especially the 1-2 back at Payson Park. So it looks like Mott got her going again after she got sick. She's going to be coming off the layoff. But this is an outstanding race, and if Leslie's Rose is 9-2, 4-1, 5-1, that range, I think she's pretty solid value in here.
Louis?
I went outside. I went to Jody's Pride on top here, 8-1. I think what Jorge Abreu's done with his horse is really is noteworthy, frankly, because this is a guy with five wins the whole year, right? It's worth mentioning her first time routing was the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly. She lost by a neck.
Yeah,
I mean, like, this is what we're talking about. She goes back to Aqueduct, terrible weather, beginning of March, in that busher. Obviously, one turn mile up there in the slop. But in that deep slop, man, she's still able to grind out 23, 46, 111, 138. I think those numbers, they'll be faster at Keeneland just because of the course is just not as deep as it is on Long Island. And so I think she'll be she'll take to the course well. She's been training at Keeneland recently after being trained at Belmont at their training facility before that. I do think Impel's got a serious shot here. I'll be very cold in my grave when Brad Cox beats me in an Oaks prep in a longer ticket. And so I think that's interesting. And if she runs her race, I do think Just FYI's got a serious shot here. I think one of the more underrated stats in horse racing is that Bill Mott wins about 17 to 19% of his races. But when he gets into graded stakes, he wins 25% of the time. And so this is a guy who places his horses well. He gives them the best shot to win in graded stakes company. So I do think Just FYI is absolutely an include. It's ironic. Leslie's Rose is my toss in this race. I'm fading the three here, actually, because she's never gone two turns. And I think you're not going to get much value on her because of the Irad Todd thing. So I'm going to try to beat the three in the Ashland Mall.
Some of the former winners of this race include Monomoy Girl, Malafat, Nest, Defining Purpose. So there you go. That's
See, someday this will be an important race, and it'll be nice. Yeah, I feel bad for the Keeneland folks. Nothing horse is winning this race. Ridiculous.
Grade one. It's the only grade, it's only grade one.
The truest it's of grade ones, man.
Prep, isn't it?
For the Oaks, yes. Yeah. For the Oaks.
Yeah, I think it's the only one.
As we move into Saturday, we're going to talk about the late pick three here, starting with the Madison. David, what do you make of just the popularity of trainers wanting to go to the Bluegrass Stakes when it's been a really just not a good indication?
Is 91 success? The last winner to win the Derby?
Yes.
I mean, it's been a minute, Jim.
It's 91.
Yeah. So what do you make of it?
I don't know. I guess some people treat it as it's a grade one, and if they win a grade one race, it creates stallion value. So I don't know if people are looking at it. I don't know. These Derby preps are such good races for stallions because there's some most of grade one. I don't know if people even look at them as Derby preps all the time. It's more like, oh, let's win a grade one and then see what happens after that. Because if I win a grade one, then I have a stud deal for the most part. So yeah, I don't know if it hasn't been the best success for the Derby, but if you look up comparable fields to this year, I mean, this looks like a pretty darn good race. It might not win the Derby, but you could see a lot of these horses going on after the Derby to winning grade ones in sprint races, whether it is, or, you know, different kind of races, two-turn races. So I think it's a pretty strong field this year.
All right, so the first race we're going to talk about on Saturday is race eight, the Resolute Racing Madison Stakes. It is a grade one. And it is a 7-furlong race for fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and upward. A little horse named Goodnight Olive won this race last year. $600,000 purse. Do we have a future Goodnight Olive in this race, Louis?
I think we might. I think Red Carpet Ready is ready for a huge year as a 4-year-old. And I think she's going to be a massive competitor this season. Comes off the bench in early March in the Here Comes the Bride, because horse racing has the very best names for stakes races. Under Louis Sias, he's up to ride for this one. That was at 6.5. We're going 7 here. She's not a get the lead and keep the lead kind of horse, so she's able to do it from second, third position, that kind of thing. So I'll go with Red Carpet Ready on top here out of the Arnold Barn there, see what she's got for us. I went out to the 8, Vava on the outside. She's won at Keeneland before, a second place on top of that. She won the Raven Run in October, so this is her first race back after that one for the Sherita Vauxbarn, who is now, by the way, fully established. She's winning at 19% in graded stakes. Sherita Vaux knows this is no longer a cute story. Sherita Vaux is, or a nice story, or what I should use the word cute. I'm sorry. But no, it's not a nice story anymore. This is, she's a legit entry anytime there's a graded stakes. And I think Vava's absolutely got a shot under Irad Ortiz for the first time. So I went 2-8 on very top. I'll give a look to the 6 as well here in All the Star. The longer shot that I like here is Mary Quite Contrary, the 5 horse for Luca Panici here. For the Piesa Barn. Luca's been on this horse. It's been running in grade two, grade three sorts of insider info, great, you know, down at Gulfstream Park. Ran once at Keeneland, really liked the track, almost won this race last year, only a length behind Goodnight Olive. If she runs back to her Keeneland form, I think she can win this race. 10-1's a really nice number. I'll definitely be using her in any exacta or trifecta kind of plays here.
I completely agree with you on Red Carpet Ready. I almost think I wouldn't say she's the horse to beat in here, but I almost think she's kind of like the now in-form horse that could only get better and has a lot of upside to move forward second time up. Yep. I like the 3 in here. We have to talk about a Norm Cassie horse, I think.
I agree. Like,
if you toss her last year, she clearly wants no part of two turns. I don't know. There's nowhere else to really run her, I think, was Norman's thinking. Right. Like, you almost have to try it. You're going to – I mean, she was 4-5.
Well, what's the Azaria $600,000 race? I mean, it's not like, you know, I mean – you know, there's a check there, so right?
Yeah, he tried it, didn't work. If you go back to her Jaluki at Churchill, last time she ran one turn, she won by 8 lengths. So she's finally getting back to one turn. I have to play her in this race. I don't know if the last 2 races cooked her going 2 turns, but I think she's a horse that's going to create value in here. At least, I mean, she's got to be at least 6-7-1 in here, I would think, with the Red Carpet Ready and the outside horse for Sherita Vaux, as you mentioned. But I got to play this horse in this race. It's finally gets back to what she's doing. She has speed. just can't hope that you got to hope that she hasn't been a little cooked up in her last two and hasn't lost a lot of confidence.
So if she wins, do you sneak into the picture? Like, will you be in?
No, I actually, me and Norman, the year I worked for Mark,
they had a falling out. Do you not know about that?
No.
Yeah, it's really? Been yeah. It's been horrible. I can't believe you're doing this right now in front of all these people. Yeah.
No, me and Norman. Well, I was always joking.
Would that be great?
I worked for Norman. He won 22 races with his dad, and they won the spring meet. And I literally have like 22 winter circle pictures that I don't want anymore. And I have so many winners, so I've had enough winter circle pictures. I used to sneak into them. Like, he went to Saratoga, was there 1 year, and I didn't even work for him anymore.
Finish your drink. That's not even a humble brag. That's just annoying. You're annoying, David. Good Lord.
Well, no,
I had so many winner circle pictures. I need to get rid of them.
Well, they won like 20 races. By the way, if anybody was wondering, this is not wine. This is the only water bottle I could find. I'm not like a wine bottle.
This isn't vodka, I promise.
Does work for Southern Wine and Spirits.
Shout out to
it's Southern. An Evian bottle. So if you are wondering why I'm chugging a 750, it's just vodka. Water.
It's Grey Goose. It's Grey Goose.
But no, I don't sneak into winter circle pictures anymore. We're done with those days.
That's the fun of a live broadcast. You just never know what's going to happen. And we got kicked off. And so now I think we're back on. And so, yeah, that's what we got going on, Louis. So we were talking a little bit about the
stakes on Saturday.
Yep. The Shaker Town, the grade two Shaker Town stakes is what we were on. So talking about how a little horse named Caravelle won this race last time. Louis, who did you like in the Caravelle?
You think that happens eventually?
What's that?
Rename this race after something else or Shaker Town?
I'm sorry, the Shaker Town. Who did you like in the Shaker
Town? No, but you did that on purpose. Yeah, it's all good. But I mean, like,
you know, we're adding people to the broadcast now.
Oh, then he's back.
We're back. We're back.
I'm just glad, David.
Hey, this is the show that's going to win us an Eclipse Award.
This is it, man.
This is it.
Eclipse time. Well, the Shaker Town. How about that?
The last
we're talking about the Shaker Town.
Is Arzak a really good horse or not?
Arzak?
Like, that's the real question here. The six horse, can he run it back? Can Michael Trombetta get this horse up again?
I thought you were talking
like
about
he did in
Zach.
The Woodford.
Like Zach was going to run in the race here.
I know what Zach's quality is.
Zach is high quality, but I want to say one thing. David was in the middle of pubbing really quick, so I know we don't really pub at the end.
Let's pub
give
away.
David
pub
an
away.
Opportunity to pub.
Pub, and then pub.
That way we can talk about his Paddock Princeness and he can humble brag again about how many winner circles he's been in. Yeah, well, David, I stood in the winner circle at the Kentucky Derby last year. Did you?
No, there's like 300 people in there though. You can just walk down.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
We lost them?
Louis, David's the new host. Sorry, you're out.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, fair enough. Yeah, yeah. Can Arzak run it back? Can he run that Woodford again? He obviously finished two legs back in the Breeders' Cup sprint. Can he run it back here? I think he's the class of the field here. I do think there are some longer prices in here. I'm interested. They brought up Edgar Zayas, Dale Romans did, to run on Coppola here, who has been very good the last couple of times out. Panther Island is up here. He's interesting. But if you're looking for longer shots, I think you can take some, especially in turf sprints. Sometimes they just don't go the way you think. How good is Mischief Magic? I don't know, but Charlie Appleby isn't bringing this horse for nothing. But I think Beer Can Man at 8-1 is really interesting. I think the four horse here, Phil D'Amato, ran in that Breeders' Cup turf sprint last time, finished 7th by 2.25 lengths because everybody finished right there behind No Balls and Big Invasion. But before that was really good in that Woodford.
No Balls?
Yeah, No Balls doesn't need manscaping. How about that? And so there you go. But Beer Can Man would be my longer shot here. Badby Brian likes Keeneland, but hasn't won there. So I'll be interested if that's a horse that can get a piece of the prize too at 20 to 1. But David, who do you like in the sprint here?
I'm going to be honest, not like anybody in this race. It's turf sprints, really. You have a horse like Arzak who's coming off the layoff. What are you going to do with him? The 7 horses coming off a layoff. Let my people go. The 8 coming off a layoff. A lot of horses coming off layoffs. It's a turf sprint, which are already hard enough to pick in the first place. So I don't like any of the Florida horses, and I kept going through the race. Mischief Magic, I'm guessing. Is he the morning line favorite? He's got to be. I don't have it in front of me. He's probably the George Price, I would assume. But
7-2. Yep. That is the favorite, right?
That is it.
He did win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint. So that has to be a little bat in the bit of back of his mind, obviously, and Charlie Appleby sending this horse back over. He's coming out of a couple good races overseas, and all these other horses are all layoffs, and I'm like, he's shipping this horse here. I'm just going to probably single this horse in the pick five, close my eyes, and just close my eyes and hope I make it pass, because it's one of those races where if I don't use him, I'm using like seven horses in this race. I have no feel for this race, to be honest with you.
There you go. All right, we're going to move on to the main event, the $1 million Grade One Bluegrass Stakes, with a, I don't want to say a loaded field, but the top three is legit, right? We have a top
who's your
three.
Who's your top three
in this list or on this race? Excuse me, Sierra Leone. Okay,
I love Door Knock.
Okay,
and then just a touch. You don't like Door Knock?
No, that's the horse I was talking about earlier about. I don't want to hate on your horse, Door Knock, but now go ahead.
On it, man.
I just don't like this horse. I don't think he's very good at all. Because if you go back to his Remsen, super gold rail and aqueduct won that day. And that's why Sierra Leone's race was so impressive in that race. That was that super gold rail. And then if you want to talk about a bad field in the Fountain of Youth, that was the race where I'm sure y'all remember every good horse in the race scratched, including Speakeasy at the gate, and it kind of left him alone. And also, have you all seen that they're going to try new tactics with him by making him chase horses instead of sending the lead? I'm not a big fan of trying new things. I guess
100-point race right before the Derby.
But I don't want to hate on everybody that likes Door Knock, but I don't understand this horse at all. But I've been very wrong before, and I'll be very wrong again. So I guess he can prove me wrong.
I'm usually wrong, so it's
okay. So. Most I'm wrong 70% of the time, so it's okay. Maybe 60. So
you think this 30% horse racing is killer?
Maybe I was gonna say it's probably 80% actually. So right,
what you think? Sierra Leone just takes this one and runs with it. Is it like almost a single on here?
I think he's the most likely winner. I like Just the Touch. Okay. I think he's the horse that he's never run on a fast track. He's obviously been touted since day one, broke his maiden short odds, came back in the Gotham was favored over Deterministic, who I already mentioned that I really like. I want to see this horse going two turns on a fast track because I think he has a lot of ability. And he was kind of – he was making up ground, running on. Deterministic just ran past him because he was very good on that day. I want to see what he can do going two turns, and he's going to be good value in this race because, like you mentioned, Sierra Leone is going to be a short price in here, at least probably 9-5, 2-1. I want to see what he can do, and then I want to mention one other horse. I know I've talked a lot about this race. I'm very curious to see what BU does going two turns because if you're a buyer speed figure person, his last was huge. I think he's the fastest in the race at 96, but can he translate it to two turns? It's a big question because he's always been a horse that's been touted. He lost the Just Steel on debut, a couple grade ones after that, finally got the maiden broken last time out. So I want to see what he can do now that he has some confidence.
Going with Pletcher and Rapoli, the second Pletcher.
Underneath. I would use that horse underneath. I think he's a horse maybe sneak underneath. Okay. Good odds.
All right, Louis.
I agree with him on top. I disagree about Door Knock. I think he's a better horse than whatever trash heap David just threw him in. But I think
rude. At least
you're good. luckily the horse doesn't speak English. Look, good money's in this race, and I don't know what to do with him. But I liked him ahead of the Tampa Bay Derby. And he almost won the damn thing. His first time going, he really did. Now that was a slow frickin' race, but it was also his first time going two turns. So I'm interested actually in him at 20-1. Javier Castellano had as good a big race year last year as I can remember in recent modern history between the Belmont, the Travers, et cetera. Like he had a really terrific year. And so interested to see that horse back here under Javier Castellano. And then the Turfway Shipper is coming in for this one. How good is Encino? I just don't know. And by the way,
massive buyer increase.
Yes.
I don't know. It's like I went from 65, 68 all the way to an 89. So it was just a huge increase. So
interested in him. Epic Ride comes in here out of that Battaglia as well. And before that, it won the Leonidas going two turns. So this horse has tons of two turns experience. You know, can John Ennis translate that success he had at Turfway Park down to Keeneland? I don't know. But that's a really nice horse. Son of Blame. It's not like, you know, Giapponi on the mom side. It's not like he's not built for this.
Blame.
Oh, it's a blame. Is that better?
Yeah.
It's okay. There you go. So yeah, no, I mean, all of those things sort of add up that if you're looking, especially like David just mentioned, fill out a trifecta or something like that.
And even the one horse, when does Chad Brown run maidens in grade ones after off maiden? he's an allowance condition guy that kind of likes using it. This horse is a $1 million horse, broke his maiden on debut, throwing him right to the wolves right off the bat.
He was really good in that one turn mile of Gulfstream.
Yeah,
he was.
I also, you don't see Chad Brown debuting on dirt at a mile very often either.
No, he'd so be that's a good kind horse of in Military Road too. That's a, yes. He's a pretty good horse. So yeah. I mean, yeah, he's another. I mean, this might be too much too soon, but why can't he hit the board at 15-1?
So there's this could be an exact or a trifecta that could pay a little.
Oh, I think there's potential money there for sure. Okay, yes, for sure. Nice. Especially if you know, let's say you know they try with Dornock to make him a different horse, and he's like, "Screw you, I'm going out front," and he fades. If any of these horses catch up with him, especially, you know, like if a good money goes out front with him, for example, let's say, and he's conditioned better and he's ready to go this time, you know, third in the form cycle here, why can't good money be faster than Dornock on Saturday? I'm not sure. He hasn't been to this point in his career, but as far as like taking steps forward and being a better horse this spring, I think he can definitely do it, David.
Does it bother you guys that Track Phantom ran so bad in the Louisiana Derby that maybe Track Phantom's just not as good? He's not as serious 2-turn, 9-furlong, 10-furlong horse. And the horse, I mean, Syria ran him down. Does it bother anybody as much as a little bothers me? Because I guess he did beat Catching Freedom in there, who came back, obviously, to win the Louisiana Derby. So I guess there's been some proof to that race that it was strong. But I don't know. He's short odds. Closers.
I didn't know the Louisiana Derby had finished yet. I thought they were still running.
Yeah, that was. So I actually came slow. Second. The horse I bet came second in there. I had no clue the horse was inside the Honor Marie horse. I had no clue that was the horse inside of Catching Freedom. He got no calls. I didn't miss it.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Our man Dooley there.
All right. Be better, John. Come on.
And of course, you know, David does hate Dornock, who is the full brother of the Kentucky Derby winner last year.
That's all
good. He is.
Yeah.
So. He is.
Good Magic, by the way, won this race.
How about that?
There you go.
He finished second or third in that one.
Second in the Derby.
Derby,
yes. Yeah, second in the Derby.
I thought he had justified turning for home for a second. He kind of made a run at him, and then
Audible looked good as hell in the stretch too. That was a fun race. That was a good race.
Although Justify's a hell of a sire right now too. Good Magic's got Justify now. I mean,
he's catching up,
and
man.
He could be
perfect. The people that got in with Good Magic at 50 are feeling really good. Yeah.
All right, David. Thank you for tonight.
I'll ping you on Saturday. You going to be out there?
Saturday's TBD. Tomorrow for sure. Okay. Friday I'll be there. Saturday. The weather's not great. I had the cold weather.
It's gonna be cold tomorrow. Saturday's like mid 50s, but at least it's gonna be sunny, so I can handle that.
That's where like I'm just thinking about going to watch the Reds this weekend, and I just don't know if I want to sit out there
in the 50s.
Yeah,
yeah, it's just not. Fun. Yeah, the track's different. You can move around. You know, you can worse,
so
get those.
Yeah,
adult beverages to warm you up. That kind of stuff. You know,
yeah,
it's
good.
Yeah,
you have fun. I'm not going to the Reds game though. That's too cold.
Dave, you want to go ahead and pub your stuff one more time?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, Horse Racing Nation. If you go under Expert Picks, you'll find me at Paddock Prince, Keeneland, Aqueduct, Santa Anita this weekend, going into spring at Churchill. And yeah, we'll have all the big days covered every day.
Do you have a Santa Anita Derby quick pick?
That race, I don't like Imagination at a short price. The other Baffert's always scare me. But overall, I don't think it's the best field in the world. So I think Baffert's going to run 1-2 at something probably, but we'll see which one it is. I wouldn't surprise me if it's other one, but no, honestly, it's not the best race. So
but it's not. I agree.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. And we'll
thanks, David. Next time.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, bud.
See you, bud.
All right, Louis, did you want to go back to, those previous two races?
Oh, sure. If you want to talk Commonwealth, sure.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Commonwealth 100%. And the Appalachian real quick. Maybe do like kind of a quick pick. So this is,
let me ask Zach here. Appalachian, Appalachian. Which one is Zach? Because I know you're Appalachian.
I'd probably say both, honestly.
Zach, so, do you have a preference?
You know that both of our backgrounds dictate that we can basically chameleon choose which one we want, right? Like
he's not wrong.
So, right. So I grew up in Chicago where it's Appalachian, right? But I spent a lot of time on the East Coast where it's Appalachian. And in Texas, no one cares. So
there you go.
I would say Appalachian. Like if I'm just tired, not paying attention.
There you go. I've become an Appalachia guy. I don't know. I think that's just living here. But it starts with the Commonwealth, by the way. All stakes pick 5 on Saturday at Keeneland. Usually that race means 6. You're not going to get a ton of payout.
Sure. Sure.
I think you're going to get a ton of chaos in this series. So it's going
to
be fun. Yeah.
So quick pick. Who's your Commonwealth pick on this one?
Commonwealth. I landed on make sure I get the races right. The four horse, Raise Kane. Do you remember before the Perryville, which he won at Keeneland? I said, man, I think Ben Colebrook's really doing the right thing and turning it back in distance, but I'm going to let him try once, and then he won. And so I think he's on top here, man. Derby, he loved Keeneland last time. He's 2-4 at Keeneland. Obviously a Derby alum of last year, but I think they've really found what they want to do with him. I think he's a good example for what they could do with Timberlake.
Yeah.
I think he could be that kind of horse. I think Timberlake, probably a little better of a horse overall as a three-year-old, but I do think there's a good shot that he'll be developing in that way. The nine horse then is Minnesota Ready on the outside, will be the horse that will be the favorite in this race. But 3-9 lifetime on dirt. They tried this horse a bunch on the turf and it just didn't win. 4-22 lifetime is getting the 5-2 favorite. I don't love that. So I think that's a horse that I'm going to use, but I think it's one that you could beat. And then the 7 horse and Hear Me Song. I don't know what to do with this horse. I really don't. So I just good luck with that.
Then let's go to race 7. Was this the Appalachian?
Manny Waz in this race under Flavian Pratt is probably going to win because he's 5-44 Manny lifetime. I just mess with that. Yeah.
All right. Let's go on to the grade 2 Appalachian. 8 furlongs on the turf. So that's 1.25 miles, by the way.
It's 1 mile. Yes.
Yeah. Mile on the turf.
Did I write 8 furlongs?
No, you did write.
I'm a bad person. I apologize. I promise you in 2021, I would stop doing that.
Oh, okay. 1 mile on the turf here, Louis. Who did you have in this race?
All right. Michael Columbus has requested a Raising Cane style race analysis.
Uh-huh.
People on the horse racing happy hour don't know what that is. Has Mike Gandolfo heard me do a Cane's read?
I have. It's been a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, you're getting to it. By the way, I love if they want to sponsor us.
You're Raising Cane's guy.
I think it's the best chicken.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, how about that?
Okay. It's close.
I think Mike has never eaten real chicken. Raising Cane's.
I'm talking about fast food chicken. Fast food.
No, Raising Cane's is fine. It is. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. No, it's fine.
No.
Wingstop. The sauce is good.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Wingstop is disgusting.
Wingzone, wingzone.com, 3 area locations in Louisville. Check them out.
Wingzone is awesome. I like Wingzone the Louisville awesome, yeah. Wingzones.
Yeah, it's actually
no, I will take everything you mentioned, I will take. Go ahead. Do your read.
But in the Appalachian. Welcome, friends.
Wait, I'm gonna throw out some fighting words here. Raising Cane's is the in and out of the South. Boom. Oh,
jeez. Go ahead, Louis.
And welcome back to the Appalachian, friends. When you think of racing at Keeneland,
I might be getting an erection.
You think of turf. You think of green jackets. You think of stonework, beautiful paddocks, barns. As far as you can see, beautiful rolling hills.
Manscaped people.
Beautiful Manscaped people. And hopefully, Manscaped ladies.
Are those womanscaped?
Yes. Okay. Femscaped. Femscaped. How about that? We don't really care on this show what your background is. But there are a lot of nice fillies in this race. It is for three-year-olds. And
you lost your picks.
I did not lose my picks. But I landed on the 10 here. And that's Pounce for Javier Castellano, Mark Cassie. Won a race, so going a mile at Gulfstream Park last out.
Oh, my God.
And the Here Comes the Bride. I thought that was a fine race. And I think she's really primed here.
What's the background music that you would normally have for this?
It's from the movie. What's that werewolf? The werewolf movies.
Teen Wolf?
No, the girl one.
Twilight.
Yeah, Twilight. It's from Twilight.
I'll do that next time, Michael. We'll get the background music next time.
But you feel good for this breeding group. Looking at Lucky. $10,000 stud fee. This horse has already earned over $200,000. It's just the kind of story that makes my nipples hard. But I laid it on the 10 on top here, Pounce. And then went to the 4. And if you're looking for value in this race, this is a second time starter out of the Chad Brown barn.
This is tough.
And when I think of turf, I think of Chad Brown. We get Flavian Pratt flying in for this one. And they've won 3 of their last 8 mounts at that beautiful, sexy Keeneland race course.
And Raising Cane's. All right.
With Grecian Goddess, the 4. I love that 10-1 prize. And if you don't love 10-1 prizes, I can't help you. Is that good enough? Are
we doing? It's good. It's good.
All right. Kairyu is in this race as well. The five horse coming in over from overseas. Shridevo doesn't do this very often. She's done it once. Brought a horse in, first time starter in North America. Won. Okay. Essentially 14-1. So this horse, I think, has a serious shot. 2 for 3 lifetime. They tried her at Dundalk last time. Over 7 furlongs. The only real question about the five here, who I think I'm going to try to beat, is that this horse has never gone 2 turns. And so in a group of horses that have already, a lot of them have this kind of experience already, including, say, a Grecian Goddess who broke her maiden at Tampa, but she did it going 2 turns. She at least already has that experience. And so I'm going to lean on her instead. And so to do 10, 4, 3, 6, and maybe the 9 here, I put a question mark next to the 9 with Buchu, coming off a layoff since that Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf. For Phil Bauer, he is 5 for 11 to start the year as Phil Bauer. Very few starters, but boy, when they start, they win. 45%. These two have won 2 of their 4 starts at Keeneland. This is for Martin Garcia, of course, who flew out for Breeders' Cup to ride this horse after she won both the Jessamine at Keeneland and then the a maiden special going 2 turns on the turf at Churchill Downs. So if this is the horse that you want to use, Buchu, I think, does have a shot here. I just don't know how she's going to be off the layoff, but that is something that Phil Bauer, very limited numbers, does very well. So there you go.
Okay. Are we done tonight?
We're done. And it's time to go do other things.
I want
to
hear about the wood.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow on Louis' show, 10 to noon.
Robo and Go.
What time is
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
So Matthew DeSantis jumping on 11. I'm going to talk to Dan Cronin at 11:20.
Okay.
He grew up with the new U of L coach
in
Cincinnati. So I want to get his thoughts on the Keeneland races, but Mick Cronin is his brother.
Oh, brother.
So Dan is a brother, and we're going to have Dan Cronin on tomorrow. He's Dr. Keeneland Dan is what he goes by. Fat ball guy racing, of course. We'll have him on 11:20, so we'll do 40 minutes of horse racing on Robo and Go tomorrow.
His contract and how it's not a big boy contract?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
It's not a big boy contract. It's okay.
All right.
But he's not a big boy. It's okay.
He's 5'7", 5'6".
But he could be, right? And maybe. I think that's what they're hoping for.
Listen,
they'll have to pay
a lot of confidence in a guy to marry a woman who's taller than you. That's all I'm going to say.
How many guys you know like that? Your not boy Nick's many. One of those guys, right?
Not a whole lot of them. Not a whole lot.
That's pretty short.
Nick, my buddy Nick, his wife's not taller than him.
Oh, she's just that short?
Yeah, she's short too.
Got it.
I mean, my short friends marry short girls.
There you go.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. We're going to head out. We're going to pay a tab, get out of here. Thanks for listening to another Manscaped edition of the Horse Racing Happy Hour. I will not be here next week. Louis will be doing, you'll have a couple guests. I don't know.
It'll either be Isler or Kranacki. I haven't nailed it down.
I'll be drinking lots of bourbon at Bourbonville. So, and by the way, if you're in Louisville and you don't want to listen to this show,
there you go.
You want to go to Bourbonville. We still have a couple tickets left. It is going to be
it's off fire, man.
The chain. That's 17 fire. Distilleries plus Tito's plus 502 Winery. All you can eat, all you can drink for
your mom's going to be there. Oh,
my mom probably is not going to be there.
Oh,
but I'll be there in the pink jacket, rocking it.
Got it.
Come
it's the opposite
hi.
Of Keeneland.
It is. But, man, I love that pink jacket. Yeah, I get my Cadillac on Monday. My Derby Festival Cadillac.
Wait. You can't just throw that in and go away from the show. What the hell do you get a Cadillac for?
With the official vehicle of the Kentucky Derby Festival.
You get to drive it?
Yeah, I'm on the executive board, man.
Do the Cadillac people know about this?
I have to pay an insurance rider. So, yeah.
Okay. I'm happy to hear that. There you go. All right. There you go.
So there it is. Yeah. So
you riding anything else this weekend?
Probably not because I'm always out of town.
She is out of town.
Yeah, that's true. So, there you go. That's it. All right, guys, have a great day. Have a good weekend. Hopefully, it's a profitable weekend.
If you're heading out to Keeneland, by the way, on Saturday, ping me on Twitter at Radio Louis.
Let's get the hat.
I'll have my hat on the whole thing. Yeah. All
right, you'll find me.
There you go.
All right. And enjoy the beautiful scenery of Keeneland.
Ah.
Later.
Beautiful paddock. What do you think of Keeneland?
Play us out, Zach.
It's the most incredible.
Zach. Wait.